I greet you from the lovely island nation of Sri Lanka, where God has us at the moment. And, you know, the good thing about the day and the age that we live in is that we can connect with you anywhere in the world. So, and you can connect with us anywhere in the world. So, you know, we can be wherever God has us to be, and you can be wherever God sends you to be, and we can still meet up around the Word and the truth. And that Word is true. His Word is life. His Word is peace. His Word grants us that which we need for this day. Give us this day our daily bread. God speaks, and He speaks into our lives, and that bread that He gives us feeds us for the journey that we're on. You know, the world can give you psychology. The world can try to massage your brain, but it can't feed your soul. And, you know, all that's in the world leaves people empty, leaves people hungry, leaves people lacking, leaves people knowing there's something missing, and going about their day-to-day lives trying to fill that void. You know, I don't think in the time that you have here, in your existence here, you'll always have something sort of gnawing at you. You won't get away from that, but it shifts a little bit. You know, when you are not walking with Christ, you have that emptiness in your soul. And when you connect up with your Savior, when you now walk with Him, when the revelation of who Christ is and who Jesus Christ is, the Son of the living God, even as Peter said, you know, when Jesus asked him, "Who do men say that I am?" He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." You know, once that revelation's been made in your heart and you've accepted, you know, who He is and who you are apart from Him, and you've believed and you've confessed and you've received His gift of eternal life that He gives through Christ Jesus, one set is solved in your soul. That need to be complete and be connected with the author and the finisher of your faith, that's been taken care of. But now when you walk with Him, something else is now there. And there is an element of that reason that God made you, that purpose that He put in your heart and designed you for, and that needing to come to fruition. And that's a whole nother thing. That's a whole nother thing. There's not an emptiness when that comes up. What that is that's a longing to fulfill the very thing that God made you for in the first place. You know, there's a longing for that. Now you're in relationship with Him, but now this is about purpose. Now this is about kingdom. Now this is about fulfilling your God-given destiny in the window of time that you're here in the earth. And God has a destiny for each person. God has a reason for each person's existence. And, you know, just like, you know, you would see maybe something like a watch. And, you know, there's all kinds of little springs and cogs and little things in there. And if each piece doesn't do its part, the watch won't work. And, you know, God's got a part for each one of us to play. And in it, His divine purpose unfolds. You know, and He works out amazing things as a result of that. And as a result of our obedience, as a result of our walking with Him, as a result of us coming into unison with His Spirit. And what that may manifest into can be different for each person. This is why you need to be careful with well-meaning, well-intended people that would seek to save your life. Because a lot of times, you know, what God is doing with you is what He's doing with you, not necessarily what He's doing with somebody else. Now, granted, you don't want to violate the principles of the Word of God. You don't want to go against that which He's outlined in His Word and in the Scriptures and that which is true. But that said, if you are going forward with Him, chances are He's going to have you do something that He's not going to have somebody else do. And so when He does that, it's going to be hard for somebody else to see because God has shown it to you and not to them, because he's got something specific for them and not for you. So, you know, that's where, you know, there's an element necessary for people to trust the Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not trusting you per se, but trusting Christ in you. Because, you know, we, look, in our flesh dwells no good thing. Yep, all right, fine. You know, in our flesh dwells no good thing. But, you know, also we know that when the kingdom has come, and the kingdom has come within, and that manifestation of the Spirit of God has come within inside of us, we then now need to put our whole being into that. And we need to trust the way that God works in other people, knowing that he that began a good work in us will carry it on to completion, that God is going to work with each person according to his plan and purpose. God is going to work with you according to his plan and purpose. God is going to work with me according to his plan and purpose. And, you know, that's when things get exciting. You know, that's when things get interesting. That's when fulfillment comes. But, you know, in the process of fulfillment coming, there's also going to be, there's also going to need to be a longing. There's also going to need to be, you know, something that's inside of you that longs for something more. You know, if there's not a longing in your heart, then, you know, how is something going to manifest in you? You know, if there's not something that you just like, oh gosh, I wish for this. I really want this. I know there's something missing. There's got to be something more. If that's not there, how can fulfillment come? You know, how can, if you feel satisfied, how then can fulfillment come and happen in your own life and in your own heart? See, that's something completely different, but it's very much necessary. Because, you know, this is also the way that God stirs you up. This is the way that God stirs me up. This is the way that God stirs us within and won't let us settle, won't let us rest on our laurels, won't let us, you know, just sit in time and not go about accomplishing that which he has for us to do, because he does have good works for us to do. You know, you remember a brother that wrote us not too long back and said, you know, well, why do we do anything good? Why do we do anything? And the things that we do, and because, you know, it's like, okay, if God has got everything under control, you know, then, and if God is, you know, if he is all powerful, you know, all knowing everywhere, and all of this has been foretold, then why do we do anything? And, you know, granted, good question. And one of the reasons that we do what we do is because it is an overflow of our relationship. It is overflow of our connection, of our heart with him. You know, if you are walking in relationship with him, that connection will result in an overflow of his Spirit in and through you. See, what he does inside of your spirit, it doesn't just stay within. When he talked about it being like, you know, if anyone came to him and drank, that it would turn into, you know, that rivers of living water that would flow from your belly, flow from within you, and it overflows you. His Spirit overflows your life, overflows your very being, makes you just have an abundant life. And out of that overflow, we do the works that we do. And we do good works in the earth. You know, and those works are motivated by his Holy Spirit. So that's when God then compels us. We're compelled by his Spirit to do certain things. We're compelled by his Spirit to act. We're compelled by his Spirit to respond. We're compelled by his Spirit to not just sit by passively while evil and wicked go forward. But we are compelled by his Holy Spirit with creative ideas to respond to push back, to be messengers of light and truth, and to let the light and truth be made known. We bring truth into situations. We speak truth into situations. We bring light. Your very presence, when you walk with God, brings light. Your very presence, your very existence, when you walk with the living God and you have not sold your soul to the enemy, you have not walked in that which is not true, that which is not real, when you have not walked in darkness and chosen the darkness, when you've chosen to walk in the light, that light is made manifest in and through you. When you've bowed your knee before the King of Kings and you have lined yourself under His authority, that light now flows through you. And as light flows through you, wherever you go, you are an ambassador for the kingdom of light, the kingdom of truth, the kingdom of God. Even as God has taken you from darkness unto light, from the power of Satan unto God, and given you the ability to choose and to walk in that choice. Oh, it's a glorious thing when you've been set free. It's a glorious thing when you know what God has saved you from. When you know that which He has liberated you from, and you feel that freedom from the emptiness of what life was apart from Him. And you have peace within. But from that place, God stirs you, and there's something new now. There's a longing that He starts to stir within you for the purpose and the reason that He made you. The purpose and the reason that He created you. You know, you'll see that when you read through scriptures, you'll see that. That with the early church, that there was that joy and there was rejoicing in when people connected up with their Heavenly Father and they were set free, they were liberated from the power of the devil, from Satan, from all those demonic works. There was joy, there was rejoicing. And once that period, once they had that joy, then from there, something begins to stir in them. And the Spirit of God begins to then reveal all that went on before, all the things that they had to go through before, all that was preparation even. God takes the things that, the places that a person's life was broken, and He uses the breaking of their lives. And those are the very places where His Spirit will now flow through and use that person to touch others. Their experiences, the things that were their own heartbreaks, God turns around to use those things for liberation and for joy in other people's lives. So, the man that God sets free from heroin addiction, God will use oftentimes to then speak to others that are in the bondage of drug addiction, and He will use that person to speak the truth and life, and oftentimes that person will be the liberator and the person that God uses to liberate others that are caught in a similar thing. Very often the man that is the witch doctor, God will use and turn around once He saves that man and brings him unto Himself. Many times He will use that person and all that he knows and all that he's experienced, and He will turn that around and use him to be a strong spiritual warrior and use that person to, in His kingdom, to liberate others from the power of Satan and darkness, and to fight the good fight of faith. And all that they knew and all that they were part of before, God will flip it around. That is the principle of the sword of Goliath. Talked to some friends about that in recent times. The principle of the sword of Goliath. You know, David takes Goliath's sword, that which the enemy prized, and that which the enemy prided himself in. And it takes, God takes one heart that is given over to Him. A man after God's own heart. God takes a person who's after His own heart, and He takes that which was in the enemy's hand, rips it out of the enemy's hand, and puts it in that person's hand. And He uses that which was once a terror to the people of God to turn it around in the hand of a man or a woman of God and uses it to cut off the head of the enemy. Uses it to destroy the works of the devil. Uses that which the enemy intended for evil, God turns around and works it for good. Therein is also seen Romans 8:28. For God causes all things to work together for the good of the called according to His purpose. Therein is also the principle of Romans 8:28 seen once again. God will oftentimes use people that have gone through different things and their exposures and their experiences, and He will turn them around, and He will turn their lives completely around, and often that which the enemy intended for evil, God turns around and uses it for good. So that's why, too, you guys, classic scriptural example, classic one, is Saul who became Paul. Saul who became Paul. Do you know who he was in the scripture before? All you got to do is read the book of Acts and you see the entire story of his life, the entire transformation. Him going from the sword in Goliath's hand to the sword that was in the hand of David. You know, God used that which the enemy was trying to use for evil. God turned around for good. That's why, too, you know, be a bit gracious with people, because you don't know who God will turn around in time to come. You know, sometimes you might be surprised who God will turn around and who He'll bring unto Himself. And you're going to have to forgive every moment of life, because if you hold something in your heart, you're going to miss your blessing. And you're going to miss the blessing of that person that would be a brother or a sister in Christ that, you know, you don't know what God's going to do with them. And God may have for a work for you to do with them. Or may have for you to teach the very person that was a terror to you not too long before. You know, that's necessary. It's necessary for you to have grace in your heart. Because realize that if it were not for the grace of God, if it were not for the mercy of God, that would be your life as well. You would be lost if He didn't reach out to you. If He didn't reveal who Christ Jesus was unto you, you would be lost. I would be lost. So no one can boast. No one can boast. You know, God saved us by His mercy. God saved us by His goodness. God saved us, and while we were yet sinners, He died for us. So He did that for us. So, you know, you can't boast. You can't brag. You can't look down on others, because it's just a moment that was all it took for God to reach out to you, and God could do that for somebody else. And you need to forgive. You need to be Christ to somebody else, because sometimes that's all they can see of Him will be you, because they can't see in the realm of the Spirit. They're blind. But what they can see is they can see your life. They can see you. They can see how you respond, how you react, how you go through your time and your existence here in the earth. They can see how you're not wrapped up in the material world, how you don't care about the things that they put so much stock and so much emphasis on, how that which, you know, is so important to them means nothing to you. But that which is important to you, they it doesn't make any sense to them. But they know something's there. They need to see your life. They need to see your life lived. They need to see you live your life well. You're a living epistle. You're a living letter of the truth and the goodness of God. You're a living letter of who He is, of His mercy, of His grace, of His power that works on your behalf, of His love for you. You're a living epistle, a living letter that is being written every day of your life that you're here in the earth. It is a letter written about God's goodness, God's grace, God's mercy upon your life, about His miracle-working power on your behalf. You know, I have seen God's hand, God's miraculous hand, in so many ways in recent times. And just even how God cares about animals, and how He's miraculously done things even for animals that I've seen in recent times, and just healing, just because He loves, and because He responds to the care, to the cares and the prayers of His saints. When they pray, God says yes, yes, because this is important to you, and it's stirred in my heart, and it's important to me, so I'm going to move on your behalf. I'm going to move in response to your prayer. I'm going to do that which you request of me, because you are my son, and I am your father, and I have all power. All power in heaven and earth was given unto Jesus. He told us to go, make disciples of all nations. We've gone, we're going, we're doing it every day, and that authority and that power rests in us, because we're called by His name, called according to His purpose. We're fulfilling the will, the plan, the purpose of God in us. And as we do that, truth is manifest, His power is manifest, the Word is manifest and goes forth. And the Word is manifest and goes forth in you. You need to not be afraid of it. You need to not be afraid of how God works with you. Look, you know, even if you mess up, all right? Even if you mess up, you messed up trying to do what it was that you believe God was sending you out to do. Even if you mess up, you went forward with an open heart, loving Him, seeking to do His will, His plan, His purpose. If that's you, just go for it. Just go for it. Do what God's put in your heart to do. Start. Start. You got to start somewhere. So you might as well start. You know, put your hand to the plow. Don't look back. Go forward. Go forward each and every day with that which He stirred inside of you to do. You know, you have to have a compelling vision for life. Without a vision, my people perish. You know, you need to get it from Him. A vision for life and a vision for your reason and time of existence here. You know, if you have that, if you have a vision for life and a vision for your time and your existence here, it gives you reason to get up in the morning. It gives you purpose. See, the world, it doesn't have anything worthwhile. The world doesn't have anything worthwhile. So people buy into really meaningless visions, meaningless existences, meaningless reasons for doing what they do. I mean, it's dumb to go to war with people for no reason, or for somebody's commercial reasons, or for somebody's evil plans or evil intents. It's dumb. It's dumb. You need to live out your life according to what God instructs. You know, there are godless people out there that, you know, profit off of the blood of the innocent. You don't want to be part of that. But, you know, also too, you know, realize that God does raise up people to be warriors. God raises up people to fight. And, you know, in that too, you know, for those that are called by God, you know, and are given that equipping, just allow Him to lead you, because, you know, you need to be light wherever it is that you are. You need to be in step with Him wherever it is that you are. And don't allow man to send you into something that's not God's plan and purpose for you. But, you know, throughout Scripture, you know, there was enough and more. This has been a planet where things have been pretty rough, you know, from the start. And in the middle of all of that too, you know, God blesses His people and God protects His people. But His people are not pansies. His people are not You know, they're not wallflowers. You know, I mean, I tell you what, you read through the scriptures, God's people can throw down. God's people can and do. You know, when they do go for it, they're rough. They're tough. They can do that which He has for them to do. And the Spirit of the Lord is with them. So, but I mean, there's a fine line with something like that too. Because a lot of times what people try to do is they try to claim God for their cause. And God's not in their cause. So, you know, you've got to make sure that for yourself as an individual, you walk with Him. That you listen to His leading and His guiding. And if you be, you know, in armed forces, you know, just make sure that each and every day you're connected up with Him. That each and every day that you're walking with Him, that you're listening to the sound of His voice, and that you do what He tells for you to do. And trust Him. You know, He will take care of you. You know, He will watch over you. His glory will be your rear guard. God takes care of His people. He always does. You know, but you can't worry. You can't worry about the things that the world worries about. And you also got to realize, too, that whatever it is that you do, it's important that primarily you be in connection with Him. Because He'll lead you through. He'll show you how to respond. He'll show you what to do with the difficult and the tough situations that you face. And you know, the thing is that we all face difficult and tough situations in life. We all face difficult and tough things that we have to deal with. You know, if you be in business, you know, you encounter difficult and tough decisions when it comes to ethics, when it comes to how you do things. And God needs to lead you in how to conduct yourself, into what is important and what is not, into how now you should practically walk out your faith. If you be in relationships, you know, you're going to have to make decisions and choices about what you do and how you do it. Yeah. You know, whatever it may be in life, wherever it is that you are in life, whatever it is that you face in life, whatever it is that is important to you in your time and your existence here, you're going to also have to remember that you have to keep in step with Him. You have to seek His face. You have to look to His direction every moment of every day. That's why we are instructed to pray continually. Now, when scriptures tell us to pray continually, you know, I mean, first, understand the difference between the act of prayer and the state of prayer. The act of prayer is what you do when you go before God on your knees and you bow your face before Him and you say, Lord God, please lead me, please direct me, please watch over me, please show me your way. You praise Him, you thank Him. You know, the disciples' prayer, or otherwise called the Lord's Prayer, you know, you pray that. You know, you pray before Him. That's the act of prayer. The state of prayer is the way that you can live every moment. You know, when you are not doing the act of prayer, you can live in a state of prayer. You can live in a place of connection and communion with God. You can live in a place where your spirit man is constantly before Him, constantly in connection with Him. And out of that relationship, God's speaking to you. God's speaking to you throughout. With the different things that you face, His Spirit is quickening you to choose life and to choose a path and a way that is good, that pleases Him, that shines light into every situation. God is choosing to do that, but that comes out of remaining in a state of prayer. Now, you know, you can leave the state of prayer by, by exactly doing that, by leaving it. You can leave the state of prayer by, for example, you know, a friend of mine was telling me one time, a good way that he put it was like, you know, he said, you know, he's married, and he said, you know, he could have a disagreement with a friend, or a disagreement with his wife, rather. He said he could have a disagreement and remain in a state of prayer. But he said if it went to a fight, you know, now he's left the state of prayer and gone into his flesh, and he's not in a place where, you know, he's wanting to hear even from his spirit man. He's in a place where now he's hearing from his, from ego and from self and from a lot of other things, but not God. So, you know, you want to be in a place where you can always hear his voice. You want to be in a place where you can always get proper instruction and proper direction from him. So, you know, that's just part of walking through life. That's just part of, you know, doing the things necessary so that you can maximize your time and your existence here. You know, rather than seeking, you know, that which is a waste. You know, rather than that, seek that which is true. Seek that which is real. Seek him. You know, as you seek him, you know, you seek him, you're going to continue to find. He'll continue to manifest himself more and more in and through your life. As you seek him, he'll always continue to, he'll continue to feed you. He'll continue to feed you that which you need for this day. He will bless you. He'll bless the work of your hands. He'll bless the meditations of your heart. He will bless your life on all sides. God desires that you be blessed. He desires that you have an incredible, abundant life. You know, he doesn't want you to be impoverished. He doesn't want you to fail, quote unquote, at the things that you do. No, he doesn't want that for you. What he wants is he wants you to be in a true relationship with him. And then he wants that which you do to be an overflow and a manifestation of life and the true relationship that you have with him. He wants your life to be real, authentic, in connection with him, at peace. You know, he doesn't want you to spend your life wasted on that which doesn't mean anything. So that should be something you're grateful for, that he's not just leaving you in the middle of stupid things, doing things that have no reason, have no purpose, have no eternal bearing. So if God closes down a few things or allows a few things to not quite work out, thank him for that. Thank him for that. That's a blessing. Though you might not see it sometimes, that certainly is a blessing. You want that. You want God's occasional no on that which you're doing. Because in the things that he says no to, you also know that he's working out a plan and purpose for you. And there's fulfillment in that. And you want fulfillment. You want a fulfilled life. Ultimately, you want a fulfilled life. Look, money, there's people out there that have lots of money, have no fulfillment. And the people that go after money, a lot of them think that that will bring them fulfillment, but it won't. What you want is you want a fulfilled life. And that is only something that God can give. God can give a fulfilled life. God can give peace. There are things that God gives that no man can give. No person can give, only him. And you want him. You want truth. You want that which he intends for you. You want that which is real. You want him. And if you want him, you're going to have him. If you want truth, you'll have truth. If you want the living God to be Lord over your life and you submit to him, you're going to have it. And there's peace, joy, fulfillment, and all that you desire is inside of him. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. And we are glad about that. Ah, so with that, hey, God bless you guys. We love you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. You can also reach us through our Facebook page. Just search for Faith Mix. One word, you will find us there. So keep on keeping on, guys. We love you. Write us, write us, write us, and say hi. All right, talk to you soon. Bye.